Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, and my name is Carmen. Today is December 25th, 2021, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Tonight we'll be talking about living from the inside out. And before we continue, allow me to play some music, and then we'll get on with what we're going to speak about tonight. Before we do that, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just give you praise, honor, and glory. We thank you, Father God, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. Thank you, Lord, because you don't leave us alone, and you are a merciful God. We're not perfect, but you're perfect. And as we draw closer to you, you show us your way. Your ways are better than ours. Your thoughts are higher than ours. Lord, we just give you all praise and honor and glory. Thank you, Lord. And, Lord, I just pray that tonight that the hearers, that the people that you want to be here tonight will hear and have ears to hear, Father God, and a heart to receive the things that you want them to receive. Lord, use me and speak through me, that it be not my words, but your words. Give me those words that help me to minister to those that need ministry tonight, Lord. We just thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And tonight we're going to play this song, and I'm sure that you're familiar with it. It's called The Garden by Misty Edwards, and it's on the same topic that we'll be talking about tonight. Praise the Lord. Give me one moment here, and I'll play that. You are me alone.
Thank you. was Garden by C. Edwards. Okay. Well, I hope everyone is enjoying their family on this day, eating and just enjoying your loved ones. I just praise God for a day of rest and time to fellowship with your own family. It is good to see many people that you haven't seen for many, many years. Well, let's get on to the subject of tonight. And it also has to do with our families, you know, that we meet every day. And not every day, but on holidays sometimes. I mean, some do see each other every day, but it's more likely on holidays that people get together and share the Lord or, you know, time together. And so I'm no different than other people. I did my sharing with family. I noticed a family member. The topic of today is living from the inside. And from the inside out, right? And so the Lord was showing me as I was visiting with family that this particular person, I was ministering to them about the Lord, and they were like really avoiding wanting to be, to know God. They had excuses of all kinds. And what I told this person is that that basically, you know, they were exposing how, well, not exposing, explaining how they were good people and that they gave a lot of things to other people and they did good, that they were good. And, you know, that they went to church and they prayed and they followed, you know, the sacraments from their belief, right? And so finally, you know, I'm going round and round with this person, and I had to kind of get, you know, plain, clear, to allow them to see that it's not just about doing works. It's not about going to church. It's not about all that. Jesus is not about all that. And so what I took it to explaining, similar to this song, you know, living from the inside out. And as, let's review what we had spoken about the weeks before. We have been talking about the names of God and the tabernacle of meeting and all the meaning of all of that, how Moses met God in the cleft of the rock, and that was a dark place. And so God told him to do that tabernacle, and there was symbolism within that that tabernacle of meeting. That's us, you know. We're on the outside, and as we go in, we have to live in purity and come close to God, and there's going to be changes. We have to come to him his way and allow him to wash us, and then we can dwell in with him, you know, in the Holy of Holies. That's where we are, where change. When we read the word and we allow him, that word of God, to come, he is the word of God. He's born on the earth. He is and was the word of God. And so when we read God's word and allow that word to come inside of us in that holy place, that's where we're only there with him in that secret place, there's going to be a transformation. So I started, you know, explaining these things to this person, trying to give them a visual of what really takes place, that God wants us alone with him. It's not about works. It's the life that we live from the inside out, not from doing, you know, religious works. And so this person was like, you know, no, well, I'll get my life right. And after I do this and this and that, and I'll change and I'll ask the Lord in my life. I had to go on and explain to this person, okay, you leave here, you go out, you get in the car, and you're driving home back to where you're from, right? And there's an accident. And all the people in your car, a few die, and you're one of them. Then what are you going to do? Then it's going to be too late. And there's no more chances for you to to seek God and to ask him in your heart. So we've got past that, and he says, well, yeah, that makes sense, but I don't want to come to God, you know, the way I am. And so I said, okay, so you're praying to God, right? And it's like a little kid coming to your house and saying, Mommy or Daddy, and you're like, you're not my kid. You're not my kid. And that person started understanding that in order to come to God and to be heard by God, I mean, God can hear anyone, but the prayers that he hears from those that are unbelievers is the prayer for help, for God to come close to help them, right? He doesn't, you know, decline those prayers, but everything else, you know, there's a lot of other things that you have to be a child of God in order for him to change you and to, you know, to help you and assist you, right? So they were starting to get it. And then I made this description. I gave him a nice little description of, okay, and you go, you die on that in that accident, and you go to heaven, and you're seeing heaven, and it's beautiful, and it's nothing like you ever imagined it to be, and you're waiting to get in, and they say, okay, let's look for his name in the book of life. And they look, and they look, and they go, nope, his name is not in here. So what does that mean? He can't come in. Okay? And there is a book of life. There is a book of life. Many people don't think there is, but there is one, you know? And let me see if I can find that scripture where we can see where the name, okay, let's see. I had it. Let's see. The book of life. I can't find it right now. But in the words, the book of life, it talks about it. Moses talked about it. He told God, okay, if you don't, you know, forgive them, if you can't forgive them, then take me out of the book of life. And he says, you know, they're the ones that are going to be taken out of the book of life because of their sin. And, you know, but God heard his intercession and heard his plea, and that's why they got another chance, because God was ready to obliterate them, you know, take them out of here. And so there is this book of life that's in heaven, and that if we're not put in there, and it's not just being put because you just get born again, you have to live the life of God, but it's not like everyone thinks. So I went on explaining to this person, you know, okay, you want to live that way, but the true way, the way that you're living it is religiously, is from doing works. Oh, but I'm a good person. I'm doing this and that and that and this. And I give to the, you know, to the poor and this and that. But in God's eyes, he does not see that as living a righteous life. He sees that as being religious, being prideful. Okay? So in our pride, we're doing things in our own way, the way that we think. And God's thoughts are higher than ours. We can't assume that God, because we think it, that that's the way that God's going to deal with things. Well, so I reminded him of the things that he had said and had done, you know, in his past. And he remembered it. This person remembered it, and how if he were to die at that moment, he wouldn't make it to heaven, because it's not about what he did. You know, he was so proud of what he had given. And so he was starting to get the picture that, no, uh-oh, wait a minute. He wasn't, you know, all there with the things of God. And I noticed it because we were watching pictures of family. And in one instance, he was looking at this family member, and this anger rose up in this person. They were really angry when they saw this person, and I had to address that and tell them, you're angry, you're bitter, you've been angry all your life, and that's why nothing makes you happy. Nothing has made you happy. And they agreed that they weren't happy. But it was, you know, they kept believing that it was because of the past, the things that had happened to them in their past. And I'm like, no. I mean, you can be happy. You can have nothing and yet be happy. So I continued to talk to this person. And then I mentioned to them that sometimes the Lord will repeat themselves. They'll give the same message again when he's trying to say something. So I told this person, you know, all the things that I had to say. And lo and behold, the next day, we were watching a service. And it was the same thing that I had been telling them. There was the same thing that was being ministered to them, and they didn't know, they were like a bit shocked. So eventually I let the person, the Lord had me lead that person to a prayer of salvation. And in that prayer of salvation, the person, you know, for the very first time accepted the Lord. But they had to see themselves face to face. And sometimes we have to help other people understand. I mean, sometimes, you know, we got some rough family members. We have some rough family members that they've gone long, many days, many years, and they don't want to have anything because they say, oh, that's for the hypocrites. And they don't realize they're being a hypocrite themselves. So as we were looking at the scriptures and we were watching the service, basically, it was the same thing that I had told this person. You have to live from the inside out, not from the outside in, doing works and appearing to be this godly person when God wants your heart and he wants to live you being conscious of what you're doing and how you're living and aware that there's some things that are sin and he doesn't want you to be involved with that. He wants you to walk in holiness. So the scripture that I'm going to be talking about is in Matthew 5:22-21. And it says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you pay the last penny. So it goes on. It starts in 17. It says, you know, do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. This is Jesus talking. He's saying that the law is there, and he's not coming to take it away, but he's coming to complete it. And then in verse 18 says, for truly, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an idea or dot or tittle will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So here we come to that first sin, which is the sin of anger, of murder. That's, you don't do that. The next one from 27 to 30 talks about lust. And from 31 to 32, it talks about divorce. And 33. Down, it talks about, to 37, it talks about oaths, not making an oath, you know, you've got to keep your word. So retaliation, it talks about that, and loving your enemies. All these are important to God. And why did were they put in the scripture this way? Because these are very important. God doesn't want us to hate our brothers. God doesn't want us to lust at another. These are the commandments. If you look at them, you know, not to lust, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. and so on and so forth. So a lot of people think that it's just the Ten Commandments. It's more than that. There's a lot more instructions that God focuses on. So these are points that God is saying. When he says them, the thing is that he'll say them, but he says, but I say to you that anyone who is angry with his brother, it's God saying it. It's not the scripture says, not somebody else quoting what God says. This is God saying it, okay? So if he's saying it, then this, we got to pay attention to this. And so I went on and I tried to explain to this person, they're angry. They were angry at this person that they were looking at pictures. And this person is deceased, okay, mind you. The person that they were mad at, they were angry at this person. And I was like, you're bitter, you're angry, and you're holding on to all of this for years and years. And look what it's done to you. All this, you know, they felt that because they had prosperity, they had money, they had things, they had houses, that they were okay. That they could hold on to their bitterness and anger, but they were okay. But in the eyes of God, God is saying, if you're angry at another person, whether they're alive or dead, you're sinning. This is against God because these things are done, anger, lust, divorce. All these things, you know, not loving your enemies, retaliating, you know, not keeping your word and all that. All those things are coming from your heart, and that's where God looks at, on the inside of your heart, to see what's there. And that's why it's so important, like we talked last week about the tabernacle of meeting, where, you know, the furniture on the outside in the outer courts were made out of bronze. It was God judging, and the other one was a laver for the prophets. I mean, not the prophets, the priests to wash their hands before they did work. And bronze symbolized what? Judgment. Either God judges us or we judge ourselves, right? So apparently these things are in our heart. That was symbolic of what was in the physical, right? But God is wanting to show us Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to take it away, but to show us how the law was to be applied to our lives. And it was to be applied not on the outside by doing those religious works, but on the inside so that we can have pure hearts, because that's where God was saying, you know, be ye holy for I am holy. And how are you going to be holy? That's not something that you see on the outside. Many people think that it's that way, and they become so religious in their religion, and they think they're so pious and so wonderful. But God is not looking at that. You can fool people. You can't fool people with your behavior. But it's on the inside that God is seeing. He loved David because the word of God says he was a man after God's heart. Why? Because God saw what was in his heart. If he was a man after God's heart, that means he was delighting in himself in the Lord. And the desires that he had were from the Lord and were pleasing to God. So I started making this person think. And I was like, Lord, how am I going to get this person to understand? I may not have another chance, another year, or you know, because tomorrow is not guaranteed to anybody. Nobody knows when they're going to die. And I wanted to make sure that my words stuck, you know, because even young people think that they're going to live forever and that nothing's going to happen to them. But you know what? They can pass away tomorrow. They cannot. They can end up in heaven and then not find their name written in the book of life. So I was like, you know, within me, I was like, Lord, show me what can I tell this person. So you know, I went and spoke about their religion, and you know, and I tried to show them and comparing that was out of works, and that was things that we had done in the Old Testament with the tabernacle of meeting, but that doesn't mean that you eliminate that. You still have to follow it, but you have to follow it Jesus' way. So I said, you know what? No. And so they accept. I said, would you like me to lead you in a prayer of salvation? And they said, I explained, what how you live from the inside is your everyday, the same thing you're doing now, you're going to include God, asking God to come into your life and to lead you. And because he leads you, it's no longer, you're dead to self and you're alive to him. He's the one that's going to lead you and guide you into all your decision making. And you're going to see something different. But if you're not reading the word, you're not growing in God's word, then you're going to make a lot of mistakes. And you will make mistakes. You know, we're not perfect, but God will help you because he sees your heart and he'll turn what was meant for evil for good. And I explained to this person that, okay, time was wasted. All that time was wasted. But God can redeem his time. God could redeem that time. And they were like, their eyes were wide open after that. So they did. They did get saved. They said a prayer, but I gave them the explanation that they have to allow God in and explain that it's God's instructions, God's direction, and God's instructions comes with reading his word and applying that in your heart. It's what everybody else doesn't see, God sees. Okay, you may be doing this and that, and you may be giving money, or you may be giving of yourself for charity or whatever, and you think that's a good thing and you're doing that for God. But at the same time, you are really seeking it for maybe accolades, you know, to be looked upon. How many people don't seek their, even the careers that we I'm looking at diplomas now, my old diplomas, and, you know, but some people, they're looking at it, oh, no, I'm doing that to earn a living. No. Everything we do on this earth has to be done for a reason, for the glory of God, right? And if you're doing these things and it's to be looked upon and for people to think how wonderful you are, then that's not giving God glory. That's not giving God any glory. So everything you do, even as you raise your children, even your marriage can be a thing that's prideful, that it's you doing it, and really it's not God doing it through you. You know, it's like, how wonderful I am. I'm doing this and that for my marriage. It could be anything. Anything can be idols. It can be, you know, a point of pride for us. And what does the word of God say about those that are proud? That he's going to bring them low, right? Down. And those that are humble, he will lift them up, right? So as we humble ourselves, realizing that we can't do it, seeking God to show us, how do we do this, Lord? And he gives us the wisdom, then he gets the glory for it, because it had nothing to do with you. It was him all along. But if you live your life without seeking him and allowing him to show you the way, then it's going to be wrong. You can be angry. You could say, okay, I'm not murdering anybody, but yet inside of you, you're angry. You want to insult them. You want to say how dumb they are. You want to talk bad about them. And that you can't do that. I mean, I'm not saying that everybody's perfect, because I'm sure that people have all done that and you don't feel condemned. But God is leading you and guiding you to a better life, a life with him, learning how to grow in him. And so as you allow him to lead you and guide you. And if you're not born again today, I want to lead you into a prayer of salvation. I'm just getting to the point today because, you know, before I wasn't so, you know, into that to tell people, because people get insulted. People get mad that you're telling them that they need God and they don't understand. But if you look at it from a point of view that this person's going to be a lost soul, and if I don't say it, well, if they reject it, well, they'll know that someone was sent to them, you know. But we got to get over ourselves a lot of times and allow God to use us to minister to other people. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. And so if there's anybody anybody at all that is not born again, I'm going to say a little prayer and, you know, to make sure that you're leading a life that's pleasing to the Lord. But it begins first by being his child. You can't be talking to him and, you know, thinking, you know, that God's going to come for you if you're living in sin and you're not even in his house. You know, it's like a person that comes to a person's house and then they're not even there. They're not their kid, you know. Somebody comes knocking on my door and says, Mommy, I'm like, who are you? You're not my child. You know, get out of here. go away. I'll probably think they're crazy, right? So you want God to answer, right? So let's say a prayer. All right. Father, Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I've done things my way. I know that I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I'm ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you. Thank you for bearing my sins, giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, Jesus. Come into my heart, Lord. Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, whoever said that prayer tonight, you're in the house. You're in the family of God. Amen. And so before the new year starts, let's start right, okay? Let's start right. Let's do this right, so that we can live a victorious life in the Lord. It's plain and simple. I'm trying to make it simple for people to understand. But you got to understand, first of all, that you are a sinner. Without him, you can't do anything. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. Amen? So tonight I've made that short, my little portion short, so that we can minister to those online. If you want to be ministered to, please raise your hand by dialing 1 and you'll be placed in the queue. And I'll begin tonight with the first caller, your name and where you're from, 720-620. Amen. 720-620, are you there?
Yes.
Your name Hello? And where you're from?
Veronica from Denver.
Veronica from Denver. Give me a moment so I can pray for you, okay?
Thank you.
Lord, thank you, Father God, for Veronica, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in her life. Father God, she recognizes that she needs you and that she can't do life without you, that you are the one, that you are the one that can help her. And Lord, I just thank you, Father God, for her tonight, for her calling in tonight, Lord. Lord, I just ask you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to touch Veronica's heart, Father God, and move in her life, Father God. Help her, Father God, and lift up all the strain of life, Lord. Give me a minute. Oh, things look really nice on the outside, but on the inside, there's some turmoil going on. And the Lord is with you. He's going to guide you. He's going to lead you. He's going to show you those things that shouldn't be there. He's going to help you to remove all that. In the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you, Lord, because you're helping her, Father God, to overcome the things that are trying to overcome her, Lord, the things that are trying to stop her from living a holy life. Father God, in the name of Jesus, he's showing me some things, and God, the Lord says that he's going to help you with that, okay? I'm not going to say what it is, but he's going to help you with that, honey.
And you're going to trust him. I know you're going to trust him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. And Lord, give her strength to overcome. Give her strength daily, Father God, as she wakes up and she seeks you every day, that she will, her eyes will be open as she seeks your word, Father God. And Lord, I pray that those people that are around her that are not leading her in the right way, Father God, that you remove them somehow, or that you, they line up or they go out in the name of Jesus. They line up or they go out. And I pray that, Father God, that you help her, Father God, to do what's right to others, to teach her how to love others the way you want them to be loved. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her life. Thank you, Lord, for untying those things that are holding her back in the name of Jesus. Thank you for Veronica from Denver in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Veronica, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Would you like prayer about anything? What would you like to say?
No, I was just looking for direction because you're right on you're saying about the leadership or the leading must be done in love. Otherwise, we as women tend to rebel against the harshing. I mean, not the harsh, but the misleading. And I got the word that you're saying about align or be removed, because we all have a free spirit where we know what's right, what's wrong. And but we also like the leadership to be led in love, and we submit, and then we obey really fast. And that's one of the attributes of God. When God leads me, he leads me in a beautiful way that I submit, and then I love him even more because he does it for my good, and he protects me, and he loves me dearly. Like, so I'm used to the leading with love, because my dad back on the days, he used to look at me with as a perfect woman, and he lied to me. But he will treat me with such of leadership and the loving, kind ways. And when I was wrong, he will tell me, "Look at my eyes," and then he'll be saying, "I'm not dumb. I know what you're doing. It's wrong," and it will redirect me to do the right thing right away. Because he was loving and kind and compassionate, and then he treated me like a queen. So it makes me feel always like I was perfect, but not like he lied to me or deceived me, but he loved me so much that he knew how to attract me. And it was God the Father, the same love where I am able to submit to anybody, a coworker, a boss, a family, a friend, even at the store. Like when the leadership is right, I feel led with love and purposing, like with the purpose, and then I move quickly.
Yes, well, the Lord is going to show you how you're going to walk in love, but at the same time, he's going to guide you as to protecting yourself from, you know, things that you shouldn't align yourself with. And so he'll guide you. He's going to give you strong inkling on what you need to do next. But as you seek his word, because, I mean, you can't just think that it's going to come down on you like that, like magic. The way that God speaks through others, God speaks through his word. God speaks. He has many ways of speaking. But as your heart is inclined to trying to hear what he's saying, he's going to guide you, and he'll make it clearer for you, okay? He's going to make things clear. But you're mentioning, is this a spouse that you were talking about? Because I couldn't hear you clearly. I'm sorry.
Pardon me?
Yeah, I couldn't hear you clearly. So are you speaking about a spouse?
About anything. I just... I just feel like that. I wanted to get a word of direction, and I understood how you were speaking, and it's
you
a beautiful thing. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you understood it clearly. And so God is going to give you guidance, but if you don't seek him on a daily basis, and you also have to put action into it, he shows you from the inside, from your heart, by reading his word. You got to put his word in your heart, and he will show you, this doesn't line up with my word. Okay? And when you see that it doesn't line up with your word, he's pleased when you start taking action in his wisdom to line it up, to make it look like his word, okay? We make mistakes, and that's okay, all of us. None of us are perfect. But God says, be holy, for I am holy. He's the perfect one. He guides us. And Jesus shows us the way how to do that. He already paid the price on the cross for our, he knew we were going to sin. He knew we were going to sin even before we knew it. And so he's there to take all our sins away. And that's the exciting part about it, that, you know, we don't have to stay where we're at. We can move on from that, and God will help us. But we have to humble ourselves and say, I can't do this. I need your help.
I love God, word holiness, because, I mean, he is holy, and he demands us to be holy. Like on the first stages of life, he not that he allowed it or permitted it, but he tolerated in a way that he teaches how to walk out of it. And then as years goes by, he trained us the muscle, how to refuse, how to run, how to avoid temptations, how to not talk to people on text or calling or be in private or be with people that we are tempted to fall. So the holiness part is the amazing thing that I love about God, because he allowed me to walk like 20 some years ago, how to understand that my weakness, he makes me strong. But I understand how he led me, and he walked me through it. And the last thing in my mind is to fail him, because I know it will take me back to 20 some years ago, or 20 some years before, and then my whole walk will be in vain. And then all the shame and the financial loss and pain and condemnation and bitterness and guilt and embarrassment.
Well,
and then,
you know, it's the enemy trying to, the Lord convicts when we're doing something wrong, but the enemy condemns. See, that's where condemnation comes. That's the enemy lying to you, you see. But when the Holy Spirit, and it may feel like the same thing, but it's not. When those voices that are telling you, you're no good, you shouldn't be here, you shouldn't do anything, you shouldn't be even in church, it's trying to pull you away from God. But when the Holy Spirit tells you, you shouldn't do this, seek God, you know, don't do this or don't do that, and God will help you, and he'll give you the opportunity. He gives us many opportunities, but the thing is we can't fool around with it, because we don't know when enough is enough, when God says enough. And that's like playing with God. I mean, it's better to not know God than to, you know, continue playing with the things of God. And, you know, because if you're one of his children, what do parents, if you were his child, you're going to get disciplined. Right? But
I don't want the discipline. I don't want his discipline, believe me. I want his love. Because we've been enough through the discipline, and we don't want to repeat the cycles.
If you've been all through your life without discipline, you won't grow either. Discipline is good. It helps you. It helps you. If you are accepting, okay, I made a mistake. And that's what God loves when we say, okay, God, I messed up. You're going to help me. And it's going to be better, you know, because you're receiving the discipline and it's going to bear fruit. It's going to make you better. But when we don't allow it, then
Sometimes even comes death, a spiritual or death physical, so we don't want to go into those realms. Because
the
fear of the Lord kept us alive, and not to abuse it, but to use it only like a grace time, but not a grace period to fool and be fooled.
Yeah, so if you really love God, then you accept what he's trying to, the correction that he's trying to, because he loves you. And, you know, instead we model our Heavenly Father with our earthly fathers and our earthly mothers, you know, and the people that have disciplined them, disciplined us in, you know, in the family or grandfather or grandma. It could be anyone. And if they've done it in a wrong way, automatically we think that God's going to do it that way. God is so loving that even in his discipline, he'll tell you in a, you know, in a corrective way, but it's our attitudes, the ones that have, because I've seen kids and even on my own kids, you know, when you, they're different personalities. There's one that'll receive the correction and they go on and move on and happy-go-lucky, and you're proud of them, right? But then there's another one that's a little bit more of a, the knucklehead and the discipline, and that one's a little harder. You got to tell that one again and again and again. And then there's the other one that sometimes messes up and is good, and sometimes they, you know, they're not so good. You know, there's different personalities and different types of people, but God knows that, and he knows how far he can go with us. And so he is loving, and if we start seeing him for how he is, then that discipline is not going to be so bad. It's going to be a good thing, because it's going to bear fruit in the end.
Bear fruit. Amen.
Yeah, because we know that he's trying to do it for our good. And it's pleasing, because you don't want to be blind all your life. Do you want to be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that they were so religious, and in their minds they thought that they were all right, and they were happy-go-lucky. I'm following, you know, the law. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And God wasn't pleased with that, because it wasn't from the heart. The changes weren't coming from the heart. They weren't allowing God to change them. So, you know, or do you want to be like a David, that God was pleased with him because he was after God's heart? He was, and when he was after God's heart, that means that he was doing in his own heart what was pleasing to God, right? So, I mean, and David messed up, and God had to discipline him, but he changed. You know, we're not perfect. Mm-hmm. All of this have done something. But there's nobody that's perfect except for Jesus. But he came on earth to show us the way, how to live the instructions that God left. The law is there not to be taken away. The law is there, and it's for Jesus. Jesus came to explain it, to show the way on how to live by it. In the Old Testament, the people of God didn't know how to follow it. They just went through a motion, you know, and that was permitted at that time. God knew that he had to do it that way. But once Jesus came into the picture and he died on the cross for all of that, he showed us the way how to truly live the life. That's why we don't do no more sacrifices. And there's some religions that I don't want to mention them today. They do that today. And they go through their little rituals and their sacrifices, and you have to do this and you have to do that. And it's almost the same thing as in the Old Testament, where they went through their little rituals to feel clean. And so God doesn't want your rituals. He wants your heart. He wants to work inside, you know, and he wants you to do that by being alone with him, spending time with him. And as you allow that, it's going to change. I feel that the Lord is going to help you. He's going to help you. I saw that. I felt that, and I sensed the certain things that were happening. And so God is not here to shame anybody, nobody. God is a loving God. He's here to, okay, you fell down, and he's going to pick you up. He's going to give you the hand. Here, come here, honey. I'm going to show you this is the way we go. Yeah, you messed up. All right. Let's clean you up. Let's wash you up, and this is the way you go. And then you fall in love with him even more, because he's so loving.
That's the thing you have to accept from the weak people. Weak people fell on and on and on and on and on and on, and the strong people don't fail as much, because they get strong after years. But weak people do fail because of the emotions, like you say. or because of religion, and you as a soul, mm-hmm. you have to pick them up. You always have to pick them up until they get the hang of it, until they understand that this is not okay mm-hmm. or it's not acceptable, or time to move on. But the soul should not boast about carrying on the weak, but to help them and teach them that too.
Yeah, it's like the person I was talking to today that, you know, they thought they were wonderful. I mean, and they were nice and everything, but I'm sure that a lot of the things that they did wasn't accounted to give God glory. It was to give themselves glory. And that's serious because, you know, everything that we do on earth, God sees. And, you know, and it's going to be burned up one day if all our works are going to be burned up. Do you want everything to be burned up, or do you want the things that were done in his name and allowing him to work from the inside of you in your heart out and living the life that God wants you to live to stand the test, you know?
Mm.
And, you know, because it's going to be burned up. And whatever is of God and brings him glory, that's not going to be burned up. That's not going to be burned up. And so, you know... And we were talking about the different types of metals, you know, the currencies, like in the tabernacle of meeting, those metals were used for God's glory in the temple. But in the world used the same currencies, the same metals, the same silver, the same bronze, and it's for self-gain. And so, see, that's where God wants to show us that the things that we do can't be for self-gain. Because we're like the people that use the metals in the world, versus the people mm-hmm. that are in the tabernacle of meeting. They're setting themselves apart for the things of God to be used for holy use. See,
mm-hmm.
we can be as God's vessels, God's instruments to do what he wants us to do, but we have to allow him to wash us. We have to examine ourselves and move away from the things that are not right, because if we consistently go in that direction, there can be destruction for us eventually. And God is so merciful. He knows. He sees. We're not the ones that can determine that. We can't determine who God has to hurry up and, you know, send to hell, and who gets another chance, another day to try to make things right. But thank God that person that I was speaking to, they got themselves right. They saw that they needed God. And their lives had to change. That, you know, they don't have that the time when nobody knows how long we have on earth. You know? And so they turned around, they said that prayer, and I said, you got to make it stick by continuing to look for the Lord, read the word or listen to the word. And, you know, you'll start growing. And it's not like the earthly growth. The heavenly growth, spiritual growth can, I mean, you can surpass people that have been serving the Lord for many years, and you can be learning things that other people don't know because of your giving of yourself, of your heart, allowing God to change you and transform you, you see? And there's people mm-hmm. in the church that have been there for a long time, and they're still the same. There's no growth. There's no changes. There's nothing different about them because they reach a certain point, stop growing.
I have a testimony really quick. My mom was in the world. She was drunk for 23 years, and we will carry her on and on and on and on. And she was completely lost, doing all kinds of sins. And when she converted to Christ, I got rejoiced. I got really happy. My whole family is saved to the glory of God. And when my mom converted, she converted to religion. And my relationship with her was worse than my relationship before. Before, it was because she was an unbeliever, so I had to give her the benefit all the time because she was lost. She was in darkness, or she was a slave, or she was not converted, or she was in sin, or blind, or lost.
Mm-hmm.
So I would give her the love of Christ, the love of Christ, the love of Christ. And then when she converted, I say, okay, now my mom is in the Lord, and I'm going to cheer her up, and we're going to live a beautiful life. We're going to rejoice. We're going to be loving and peaceful, and we're going to make up, and we're going to be celebrating Jesus. And our relationship went even worse. And then my mom would use the scriptures and would quote everything with hate and rage and anger, and I was and resentment and all those things. And I was like, Mother, you converted to Christ. Christ is love. And it took me until my 38 years of age that I confronted her one day, and I told her, Mom, you're still full of bitterness, and you don't and pride, and you haven't come to the real Christ. And then that first time that I confronted her, because I never answered her back, I never talked to her out, I never cursed her, mock her, I never humiliated her, I never did that. I honor her all the
you
time.
Are.
But on that 38, some people told me, you have to confront her. And the Lord gave me some of the abuse and everything, and I told my mom, I'm sorry, Mom, but with humility and soft-spoken, I say, Mom, you're just bitter, and you leave our religion. And before God, I mean, she converted to Christ, and then after that, it's been about 10 years. I'm 47. And we live a wonderful relationship. She walked out of religion, out of hate, out of resentment, out of bitterness, out of everything. But the whole religion thing was hurting me even more than when she was not a believer. And I will cry down. I will beg her for her love and for her hug. And I will tell her, I love you, but you're wrong. And she would just mock me and criticize me, ridiculize me, belittle me. And hate me, like her eyes and her mouth was always like, and I was like, Mother, you love the Lord.
You
know, we love the same
that
Lord.
I explained that to this person, because some of the things that this person had done in the past, they don't remember it. They don't remember what they had done. And they're like, I don't remember that. And I go, you know, eventually we got down to the nitty-gritty, and I said, you know, sometimes we can be born again, but that doesn't mean that we might not need deliverance. And sometimes we do need deliverance to get set free from things that have been a generational curses or things we've opened ourselves up to. All that we need to deal with. But the first thing is getting born again. And some people may not, you know, get those deliverances. They may not make it to that, you know, and God takes them quickly after. And sometimes we don't understand why somebody will be taken quick, you know, shortly after. He won't heal them, and they die, because he knows that they'll go back to their sin, and he's merciful. Sometimes he's merciful, so he takes them shortly after they get born again. And, you know, like a gentleman that I knew, and the Lord had me to minister to him salvation. I really didn't want to, because this person was pretty, 2 weeks after that, I mean, he had cancer, and the Lord didn't, you know, we prayed for him, but he passed away. He passed away, but he went with the Lord. He received the Lord. And so we have to pray for our loved ones, allow God to, you know, even if it takes a long time, but they'll come around. They'll come around, and you keep on praying for them, because sometimes the enemy tries to hold them back. And you're born again, but that doesn't mean you're set free of everything that's in you, you know, that you need deliverance from, you know, that takes time. It's a journey to grow in the things of God. And as you learn and read the words, even sometimes the reading the word, you get set free, but sometimes you need a little help. And that's where the ministers are, that where we can pray for those that need deliverance. I mean, certainly God can do it, but God does it the way that he wants, not the way we want. But that there is help, there is help. And so we have to be merciful with these people and allow God to help them and pray. You got to keep on praying for them, that he's merciful, that he doesn't take them out before that, and that he leads them. And whenever we have a leading of the Holy Spirit, you can minister to them in a way that they, you know, and sometimes you got to give it a little, you know, push too, because sometimes some people are tough. They're tough, but the Holy Spirit will give you the words that you need to give them what they need to hear. And that sometimes doesn't feel pleasant. That doesn't feel pleasant.
Yeah, I remember like 15 years ago, I fell from the grace. And instead of turning to Christ to restore me, I went into religion because there was more safety, supposedly, and I hid it in my sin. But I'm sure all the people knew it about it. But I hid it in a way with religion. But inside me, I was feeling condemned and guilty. And then I tried to raise my kids to that standard with their guilt and the shame and the hiding and the everything. And I created a big mess. And God spoke to me and told me, you live in a religion ways that is not going to help your kids grow. It's not healthy. And you're poisoning them. And then I say, how do I walk a religion? And this pastor came and told me, Veronica, you need to get restored. You need to rise up. You need to get up and go. And I was like, I'm ashamed. If I go to church, people are going to know and read my sin. And she said, let's pray right now that you get restored. But I went around and around and around, and I hid it from God. And I was saying, I'm a believer, I'm Christian, but I will tell everybody, you're going to go to hell, you live a despicable ways, and you live in hate, and you live in rebellion. And I was pointing every single sin of everybody, instead of saying, God is loving, God's merciful, God is grace,
yeah.
God loves you, repent, turn around. So I made a big mess. When I came humble, because God wanted to knock my pride, when I came humble, God restored, and the Lord used me in a mighty ways, and I was like, oh, I should have came
And we have
ago.
To be careful how we tell people, because we can bring condemnation, but what, because it may look the same, you know, when you're telling them, look at this. Jesus sees this in your life. But you know what? He loves you, and he wants to change all that about you. There is always hope. There's always hope. But some people, like you say, when they're religious, they want to save people and to make them just like they are. And nobody's feeling better. Nobody has peace. So, you know, we have to be careful. But when you are free, then other people will sense that you're free too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you can give them those words of freedom that they also will receive. And so we have to be careful that we don't, you know, some people are, regardless of what you say, because they do need deliverance, they're going to, you know, turn back and say, well, you know, well, I feel like this and that, because they don't know that it's not the Holy Spirit, the enemy is trying to bring conviction. I mean, condemnation, not conviction from the Holy Spirit. And they mix those two things up. God wants you to, sometimes when you're telling them things, they're going to feel not conviction, but condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to feel
condemned.
Yeah, and so you have to build them up and let them see, yeah, may have been true about you in the past, but this is true about Jesus, and this is what he wants to do, and you don't have to stay where you're at. You don't have to stay where you're at. And then you show them the love of God and bring them up, you know. But some people are so blinded to themselves that they can't see. They think they're, you know, wonderful, and they don't realize this is not of God, the way that you're acting, you know. But you have to be gentle, and that's for the Holy Spirit to guide you on how to do that, you know. But yeah, that's what religion does. It condemns. So is there anything that you would like prayer on?
No, thank you so much.
Is there anything, prayer for anything? Anything else you would like to say?
No, thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for calling, and I'll be going to my next caller. God bless you, Veronica. You have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.
God bless you, too.
Amen. All right. 251-229, your name and where you're from. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Other people don't have their hands raised, so I won't be talking to them. I'll wait. I think the person is in sweet sleep, so we'll pray for them, Father God, for 251-229. Lord, I just lift this person up to you, Father God, and whatever the prayer needs that they need, Father God, I just praise your holy name, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you because you're supplying all their needs according to your riches and glory, all the finances. I pray, Father God, that you supply all that they need for finances, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just pray that you give them guidance, oh, Lord, and I pray that you open doors that need to be opened and close the ones that need to be closed, Father God, in their lives, Father God. And I thank you that those that are open will open her up to the things that will open up the things that she needs, Father God, in Jesus' name. Let me try and see if they're up. 251-229, your name and where you're from? Okay, they're okay, in sleepy land. Okay, there's other people on the line. I can't take their call. If you put your hand up, dial 1, and you'll be in the queue. I'll play this song. This song is about the courtroom. It's by the song of Carmen, and he's in the courtroom, and basically the courtroom of heaven, where some people, they've died, and their sins are being judged in the courtroom. And so there's two sides that take place, and there's a storytelling within this song. So the name is The Courtroom, Carmen. Give me a moment.
If the knife stood in heaven's court, speak eternal favor. Would you face Jesus Christ as judge, or would you face him as your savior? There are many who don't quite know for sure what that verdict would be if ever. So let's imagine for a moment you're standing dead center in the courtroom of forever. Before I take you to hell forever, are there any last words? Now, if it's true you're standing there in the court of eternity, with God to your front and Satan the prosecutor to your left, there's one remaining eternal truth, one that's crucial to remember, one you should never, ever, ever forget. On the other side of the courtroom. You ain't hearing me tonight. I said on the other side of the courtroom. The one and only Son of God revealed in time and space and restored defense attorney who has never lost a case. Now Buddha, Muhammad, or Krishna, or any other who succumbed to death.
You have to look at the video because, I mean, it gives you chills because that's exactly what happens to us when we're in heaven and the Lord is, the Father God is judging our sins and, you know, there's nothing in the book, he says. There's nothing in the book. He looked and there was nothing in the book because it was washed with the blood of the Lamb. Wow, that is awesome. And so I'm so happy that this family member finally gave their heart to Jesus. And so we have to remember, and this is the greatest time now, this year, this season, to tell your family and not be afraid, because these people you may never have an opportunity to tell them again, you know, hey, what about giving your heart to the Lord, you know, and the Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom and the words to say, you know, not in condemnation, but you know, in conviction, letting the Holy Spirit use you and to minister to them in a way. And sometimes, you know, you get a little tough, but it's not to condemn them. You give them what God is showing you, how they can have that life. And so thank you, Jesus, because our names are in the book of life. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what Jesus told the disciples when they went out ministering and setting people free. And they're like, oh, the demons are coming out. But Jesus says, yeah, but be glad because your name is written in the book of life. That's more important than anything else. And so, amen. Amen for that. I see that there's still, the callers are still on the line, but nobody's put raising their hands. Let me see if this other person is up. 251-229, your name and where you're from. Hello? Okay. This person's. All right. If there's not going to be anyone else, I'm going to play a little bit more music and we can talk. Whoever wants to, you know, talk, they can raise their hand. Let's see. Give me a minute here. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, there is a difference, you know, when a person precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And so that can be spiritual death, you know, the death of the things that shouldn't be there in our lives. And it could be even in physical, you know, the person can die physically. But it could also be dying in the spiritual sense of the things that are holding us back, that are not pleasing unto God. Because God wants us to die to self. And so God sees us as precious in his sight. Amen? And so this person that had received the Lord, they died. They died to sin. And so God sees that person so precious because they died to the things that weren't giving them life. God talks about the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he was saying that they were full of dead bones. In other words, there was no life in them. There was no life. But when a person comes out of that, they become alive spiritually. They become alive, okay? And so God is pleased when we die to self but are alive to Christ, amen? And so in the physical, even when our loved ones, you know, pass away, especially with all this stuff going on with coronavirus, many people are saddened because they lose their loved ones, either through sickness or an illness or whatever the case may be, an accident. But as they're in the Lord, they will go and to heaven, and they, if their name was written in the book of life, then they will have life. Then God sees them as precious. But if they didn't have their names written in the book of life, then they don't get to stay in heaven. And we all know where that they'll end up. But that's why we have to be so persistent in letting other people know, you know, about Jesus. The times are getting darker, and we can't continue. We can't continue living life the same old way and thinking that somebody else is going to do it. Somebody else is going to do it. No. If God, you are a believer, he's putting you to do it. He's asking you to do it. We have to prepare, get ourselves ready, and know what we have to say in a way that's godly. And the more we study, the more we understand, the easier it's going to get to minister to these people. And the Holy Spirit will guide us in everything we do. You know, I know about being religious. You know, I grew up in a religious family. And we all thought we were okay because we were following, you know, the rituals of that religion. And it felt good to the flesh. Boy, did it feel good to the flesh. But you know that you know eventually that there's something off. And people that are not saying, they know. They know there's something that's not right. They may try to avoid it, but they know in their heart, this is not giving me what I need. And they try different things. They'll try sex. They'll try getting more money, whatever the case may be that's out there in the world. More currency, more money, more gold, more silver, more of whatever. It's not going to fill your heart. What it's going to fill your heart is knowing God, leading others to Christ, letting him guide you and letting you live your life from the inside out. Amen? Not from the outside in, because that doesn't work. That's not the way that Jesus is teaching us. So, I mean, he didn't come to abolish the law, but he came to complete it. Okay? He came to complete it by showing us how to live it, how to live it from the inside out. It's the humble, those that are humble and seek God, they will be lifted up. Those that are proud and do things their way, they're going to be brought low. Amen. So I don't see anyone else wanting to raise their hand, and so I think I'll wrap this up for tonight. And thank you for being on our show tonight. And oh, wait a minute, somebody just woke up. 251-229, your name and where you're from.
Yes, hi, woman of God. My name is Sarah, and I'm from Alabama.
Hi, Sarah. God bless you, sister. Let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, Father God, for Sarah, Lord. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord. She's rising up. She's rising up, Lord. I thank you, Lord, because she's rising up. She knows who she belongs to. She knows that she is royalty, Lord. She knows, Lord, she's rising up. And those things that have tried to weigh her down are being removed. Those things that are being removed, almost like layers. If they were, there was like a heavy coat was put on her, and it's coming off. In the name of Jesus, like a heavy coat, it's coming off. A coat that was weighing you down is coming off in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, because she knows who she is. I thank you for her mouth, Father God, that her mouth speaks what you want her to speak. I thank you, Lord, because she speaks. She speaks like a person in royalty. She knows who she is in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the light that's coming into her heart and into her life and into her walk. Thank you, Lord. I just saw light like shining. I saw light shining from above, like, you know, like a beam of light started shining over you.
Oh,
and like you were
able,
yeah. Like when that light shined on, over you, I see that like your path was being made clear. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, wow. Yeah, I saw that. I felt that light, like, you know. And there's nothing in here that shining. It was God showing me that there was some light coming over you. Thank you, Jesus. His light.
Thank
it's
you,
His
Lord.
Light showing. You know, God's light is a lamp unto our feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
God's word is a light unto our feet, a light unto our path. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
I don't know if you're reading more the word or something. Maybe that's it. There's clarity coming. I don't know. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Sarah. And continue to move in her life, Father God, and continue to show her the ways, Father God, your ways. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Hi,
Thank
Sarah.
You, Jesus.
What's going on?
Hi. well, just Merry Christmas. Well, I'm sorry I couldn't, when you tried to reach me the other time, I wasn't able to get it. But anyway, what the Lord had you to say is true. I felt like I had weights on me and everything because I just wanted to pray for my daughter. You know, that the Lord made for her salvation and that the Lord may order her footsteps. You know, when it comes to friends and things of that nature.
Yes, Lord. Okay. Father God, we just lift up Sarah's daughter and anyone else's children that are wayward here in our calls tonight. I pray, Father God, that you lift them up, Father God, that you would allow them to see your ways. I pray, Father God, that these people that are in their path, Father God, would just the wrong kind of people, Lord. I just pray that you remove them from their lives, Father God, and then bring godly people, bring godly believers around them to minister to them, to minister to them, even in not even in words, but in actions, their own actions, and the way that they carry themselves, Father God. I pray, Father God, that wherever she goes, that she will find herself hearing you and knowing that you're speaking to her, Father God. I just thank you, Father God. We just pray that you keep her in your care and that you protect her, Father God, from all these things, from wrong thinking, Father God, from associating with the wrong people, her and any other children that are being represented in these calls tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm asking you for a lot of people, Father God. But I just pray that you touch them, that you open their eyes, that you help them and keep them, Father God, and keep them safe from the enemy. Lord, that they would see, that they would have a season of being able to see, and help them to pick you, Lord, to pick the things of God, Lord. Oh, Lord, I just praise your holy name. And if there's anything pressing them, Lord, we just bind that spirit of oppression over them that is trying to, you know, weigh them down with other things, Father God, and them not understanding that it's you, the only way, the truth, and the life, Father God, but that they will realize these things, that other things will not work. Give them a dissatisfaction, Father God, for the company they keep and the things that they may be involved in, Father God. Give them a dissatisfaction for these things, that they lose their taste for these things, and that they'll run to the God Almighty, Father God, that when they hear the things of God, that their souls leap, and Father God, that they will know, that they will know that this is for me. This is where life is at. This is where I'm getting fed. This is where I'm getting what I need. Oh, Lord, I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. I pray that for that dissatisfaction for sin, Lord. I pray for dissatisfaction for the things of the world, Lord. And turn them to you, Father God. Turn them to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that you're giving Sarah, Father God, that as you are illuminating her, you're illuminating her and giving her the wisdom and understanding how to go about, how to lead as a mother. And thank you, Lord, for those godly prayers. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. I thank you, Lord, for those prayers of the righteous mother, Father God, that prays for her daughter. I thank you, Father God. I pray that you give her glimpses of the victories, that her prayers are being answered, Father God. Give her glimpses of that they are working. Give her that hope that she will not despair, that she will know that you're there, that you're there, that you're listening. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I pray, Father God, that you restore the children that are represented in this call, Father God, for their relationships, Father God, with father and mother, father, Lord, the children with the parents, Father God. We just pray in the name of Jesus for restoration. That, Father God, that, you know, whatever the enemy is trying to put in between to bring a wedge between them, Father God, we pray that you take those wedges out, that you take those wedges out, Father God, those wedges out, and that you bring unity, Father God, bring unity with the family unit, Father God, with the mothers and the fathers, Father God, and that you would give clarity to these children, that to help them to realize how they have to honor their parents when their parents tells them something, that Father God, that they will realize that what their parents are telling them is true. That what their parents are telling them is true, and that they would heed to godly advice, Father God. Help them, whatever the enemy is trying to do to create that, Lord, we just pray that you remove it right now. We bind that and we command that thing to be removed for any division in the family, any division in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the unity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, how are you? You just, you know, the Lord really uses you because you're so humble. You know, and when you're humble, more clarity and his word and his presence is shed upon you because you're humble. And I can just feel the power of the Lord, you know, that's illuminating to you because his servant is humble. He likes for us to be humble.
And so God, you know, I've learned that I have to, you know, but keep praying for me that I stay there and that I'll be able to hear him clearly, more and more clearly, so that I could bring whatever it is that he wants me to bring so that you guys will go higher, so that you could go higher and go further than maybe that than I was able to go, you know. And that's my how I see things. I see us all in a race, and I see that, you know, I have to go faster so that you can go faster and that we can win the race. Amen. And so,
amen.
Together, and God giving us strength to do it, give him the glory. He's the one behind all of this. He's the one behind your victories. He's the one behind my victories. I can't say that I can take any credit, not even a little itty bitty bit of it. Okay. So, thank you, Jesus, for helping us. Thank you, Lord. And I'm glad that it hit you and, you know, that it was a good word for you. I pray that that God will really touch you, you know, in those areas. I know. I've had, you know, teenagers and, you know, grandkids and things like that. So I know what parents go through. I do know. I understand. It can be humbling having children. So, what was I going to say? Is there anything you would like to say, a word or a testimony, or would you like some other prayer for anything else?
Well, I have a testimony. The last time that I was on the call here with you, you were telling me, you know, that to read the word and just get, you know, closer to the Lord, and I've been doing that, reading the word, getting closer to the Lord, and reading more of the word, actually, because I was already reading it and getting closer to the Lord. And so when you said there was a light illuminating, that's exactly true, because I've been doing that, you know, Lord, every day. I have it's a little bell that's on my phone, and it just gives me little reminders every time. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. And so I just.
I like that. That's a good idea.
So it's like.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It's
I'm sorry.
That's okay. And so it's kind of like a little bell, and it kind of reminds me throughout the day, you know. And I'm just thankful to the Lord for you being his servant. And I'm thankful to have both of us to celebrate another Christmas. So that's a blessing.
Amen. Yes, amen. And so, I mean, God is giving you wisdom. Use that wisdom and tell other people about him, you know, so that they could also be part of the family of God, because that's what I was beginning with, you know, living from the inside out, how when we allow God to, and that's what you were doing. The God was illuminating you because you were seeking him to give you guidance as to what to do. And that is being humble and seeking him, and he's going to give you the answer. He's giving you the answers one way or another, either through a minister or he always has his way of giving us his word. And so isn't that amazing the way that God works sometimes, you know, in ways that we don't even know, but you know that he's talking. When he's talking, you can sense it, definitely sense it. And so thank you for that. Thank you for that testimony. I'm so happy. But I also saw that, like, a heavy cloak, you know, like something was on you, and it looked almost like dark, and like it was coming off. It was coming off of you. So I think maybe reading the word was bringing light, and whatever
It was removing the darkness.
Yes, and that's true.
I saw the cloak, and the light was above, and I could see like a beam of light, and then, you know, like it went. But I saw the cloak differently, you know, apart. So apparently, what the reading of the words that you're reading is giving you light, illuminating your thoughts, and that is also removing whatever was there and that was dark, and it's bringing light into your life. Amen.
Amen. And that's so true, because I was dealing with a situation, and I believe it was making kind of like a little heaviness come in that area. And I was reading the word, and I started getting more, letting the Lord inside instead of worrying about that particular issue. And so I believe the Lord is using you in so many areas, and I'm thankful for you, as well as the Lord having you on PGN to help not only me but others.
Well, pray for us, because we need prayer, you know, to do this, so that the Holy Spirit will guide us on what to do, what to say. I mean, you know, we can feel sometimes the oppression that the enemy tried to do, but, you know, once you're in it, the Lord moves. You know, but the enemy tries to stop it by doing other things or getting you too busy or, you know, putting roadblocks and things like that. So, you know, pray for all of us. I mean, all the ministers, we're giving our lives to minister to you guys so that you would you be blessed. And we are blessed. Even as we're doing it, I get blessed when I even hear the testimonies that you say. The people that come on, the things that they say, I'm like, I think I'm more blessed than you guys, you know, when you come in. I really am. It feels like you almost enter a realm, and you're like, wow, God. It's like he allows you, but you're just the vessel. He's the one that does it. I mean, I'm amazed. He's a one God. And so pray for us, because there's it's not easy. It's a battle that we're in. So we're just helping you. You know, the Lord is using us to help you. Amen. Is there anything else? Anything else you would like prayer for?
Amen. I'm going forth this week back to I'm just praying if the Lord wants me to get back to working with children or not. And I just wanted prayer for that, and that'll be all.
Okay. You love working with children?
Oh, yeah, I do. I mean, you know, sometimes they may, you know, have irritableness, but I believe the Lord blesses you.
Have you prayed about that? And I'm just asking you, because sometimes, you know, as we talk about certain things come to light or they get revealed, even as you're talking, and God may have been already telling you. Have you prayed about
that? Yes, I've prayed about it.
What have you sensed? Have you sensed anything in the word, something to give you an inkling about it, or a desire that had changed?
Well, it's like the Lord is, you know, I am blessed to be a blessing. I am blessed to be a blessing. And that's what I want to do. I want to be a blessing to someone else, especially like the children and not only my home, but, you know, to bless while I'm at work as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father God, that what the direction that you're giving Sarah, that you open her eyes, Father God, that you let her sense, Father God, that what is the area that you want her to work in, or if it's a new area. Father God, I pray that the divine connections, Father God, that someone will say something that she'll know that she's supposed to go in there.
I pray, Father God, that someone will call her about something, about a job, and that she'll know that that's the job she has to take, Lord. I pray that, you will let her sense your presence as she hears it, Father God, that she will know that she knows that this is meant for her to do. Lord, that there be total clarity about the situation, Father God, that she will know. And as she seeks your word, that she will know it, that you will drop it in her spirit, and she'll know that she knows this is the way that I'm supposed to go. Thank you, Lord. Illuminate those areas, Father God. And help her to go, because she wants to be pleasing to you, and she wants to do what you want her to do and where you want her to go and where you want her to be. Lord, she wants to honor you, and she wants to be pleasing unto you, Lord. She wants to walk in that holiness, doing what you want her to do. Thank you, Lord, for her heart, Father God, that she seeks after you. And, Lord, I just pray that you bless her, Father God, with this request in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank the Lord for you, and may he bless you the rest of the night, and I'll be able, well, I'm praying, you know, that the Lord lead and guide your way as well, and illuminate the light that he has for you as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Sarah. God bless.
All right. God bless you.
Weekend. And come back with the testimonies. Okay. God bless you.
Okay. God bless you.
Bye-bye. All right. I have other callers. Ooh, somebody's call dropped. They were about to. Okay, their call dropped. So if you want prayer, dial 1, and you'll be placed in the queue. There's callers online on here, and they haven't raised their hand, so I'll respect that. I'll leave them alone for now. If not, let me see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If not, I'll be wrapping the show. If nobody wants to be ministered to, I pray for those that are on the call, Father God, whatever their needs are, Father, in the name of Jesus. I just pray that you be with them, that you bless them, Father God, in their finances, in their family life, in whatever areas that they need, Father God, assistance with. I pray that they draw closer and closer to you, seeking your face and your will. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in their lives. And minister to them, Father God, today. And if they're unspoken requests, pray that you we lift those up to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you minister to their lives in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I pray that they start their new year, that those that are on the line, that they start their new year anew and afresh, seeking your face, Father God, like never before. Prepare them for this new year and bless them and help them to have a stronger trust in you, in the name of Jesus. Well, everybody, it seems like nobody wants to raise their hand. They're on the line, but I'm going to have to let go. And, well, God bless you. I pray that you be well and that this new year brings you many wonderful things. And I pray that you keep your trust in the Lord, because things will come and go. But our trust has to remain in him. If we trust him in whatever we see, we'll make it. We'll make it. Because it's when we don't trust that havoc is created in our world. And we don't want that. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And you will live from the inside out. Amen. Well, God bless you, everyone. Blessings, and this is the end of the show. Bye-bye.